tears to dim the eye. All his needs forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see.
This morning, I'd like to invite you over to the book of 1 John, chapter 2, verse 6. 1 John, chapter 2, verse 6. 1 John, chapter 2, verse 6 reads this way. It says, "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked." And then I'm going to have you skip down to verse 28, if you will, with me. Verse 28 of the same chapter. It says, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that every one that doeth righteousness is born of him." So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this morning, once again thanking you for the privilege of gathering together as your people to worship you. And Lord, we do pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds, that we might hear from you, and then, Lord, also worship you in spirit and in truth, that you might be highly exalted and lifted up, and our lives empowered by your grace and your mercy, truly, Lord, to be the witnesses you've called us to be. And we do pray for a revival, Lord, asking that you would do a work in our lives, that we would have our hearts set on fire for you, and, Lord, that we would even be rekindled in our commitment and our love to you, and, Lord, that you would see fit to use us to tell others about you, and that we would see them saved, baptized, and discipled. And so, Lord, we ask that you do a work in our lives that only you can do, and I pray that that's the same sentiment in each and every heart that is gathered here this morning, that, Lord, you would truly give us a heart to draw close to you and to experience you even in a greater way, and that you would just rekindle that fire in our hearts and minds and our lives to truly glorify you, and that we might enjoy the salvation that you've given to us. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is Abiding in Jesus Christ. Abiding in Jesus Christ. Now, the amazing thing about this portion of Scripture is the Lord has talked about abiding in him more than one time. You're familiar with that, right? And so if God says something one time, I think it's important, don't you? But if he repeats it time and time again, then we know he is emphasizing that and wanting us to understand to a great degree about what he's talking about. Hold your place here, and I want you to see something here by way of introduction. Back up with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 15, and look with me, if you will, in verse 4. John chapter 15, verse 4, Jesus himself speaking to his disciples. That's us today, amen? We are the disciples, if you're here and you're saved, we are the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means we're followers and learners after the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, may you have your will and your way. May we understand your teaching. Does that make sense? Lord, we want to understand more. We want to learn more about what you've called us to do and what you've commanded in our lives that we might enjoy it, because we know this truth. Ready? The commandments of God are not grievous to those that love him. Do you believe that? Amen. God said that. Listen, they're not grievous to us. And so, Lord, help us to understand. Now, the rules and regulations that religion will put on us will be uncomfortable. Amen? They won't be enjoyable. They'll be rigorous. And they won't glorify the Lord as well. But today, God wants us to understand this important truth that he wants to fulfill in our lives. So look at chapter 15 here, Gospel of John, verse 4. He says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. So this is important, this abiding in the Lord and the Lord abiding in us. Again, he says here in verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. We're familiar with that. I make reference to that quite often. Without the Lord. Now, this thought is also important. We can do a lot of things without the Lord, but they won't glorify him. And that's what the Lord is alluding to. If you want to bear fruit, the fruit of a Christian, we have to abide in Christ. You're not going to do it on your own, and you're not going to do it Frank Sinatra style. Amen? I did it my way. I promise you, we can't do it our way. We have to do it God's way if we're going to really experience what God is talking about, abiding in him. Notice verse 6, he says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now, the Lord's not talking about losing your salvation, but he's saying that the salt has lost its savor. Amen? The light has been put out. There's not the relationship that could be had. Verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Did you get that? Listen to that. If ye abide in me, you can ask me and I'll answer. Now, you know what God's really talking about? The spiritual needs that we have, right? The flesh would say, okay, let's see what I want. Oh, no. Let's see what God wants that we can't do that he'll do for us. And that's what he's talking about. See, we have to get this idea of what he's talking about, this abiding. And by the way, listen, that's exciting, amen, that we can ask the Lord and we can experience the Lord in a great and powerful way. And notice what he says about it. Verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Isn't that amazing? God says, I want you to bear a lot of fruit. And not only that, so shall ye be my disciples. That will reveal if you're truly a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can be saved and we could be stagnant. We learned today that we can be saved in the book of Galatians and revert back to the Old Testament law keeping that does not glorify the Lord. In fact, it says it makes the grace of God of no effect to our lives, and that's not what we want. Let me ask you this. Do you want the grace of God to be effectual in your life? Amen. And so if we want that, then we have to say, Lord, I need you because I don't know. I need you to show me how that works. In fact, you know how often I need the Lord to show me that? You tell me. How often? Every day, all the time, because I am one step away from doing it Frank Sinatra style. Amen? I am one step away from doing it my way, and by the way, agreeing with myself. You know, I could be my own best counselor. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's a good way to do it. And God says, oh no, that's not the way to do it. That's not my way, that's your way. That's not my thinking, that's your thinking. And so we don't want to miss the Lord on this relationship that he wants us to have with him. Flip back over there to 1 John with me, chapter 2 again. We'll go back over to 1 John chapter 2. And we're going to look at this idea here of abiding in Christ. And in that, we find in this chapter, we're not going to go through the whole chapter, but three times the word abide is mentioned in this chapter, and five times the word abideth. They're both the same one. This abiding and abideth are the same word. So a total of eight times here, you'll find abide here in verses 24, 27, and 28. You'll find the word abideth in verse 6, 10, 14, 17, and 27. And so God is concerned about this idea of abiding in him, or he wouldn't have said it so many times. Amen? And so this morning, as we consider this, we want to understand basically two ideas here, and that is understanding our advocate, Jesus Christ. We're going to see something here that it was a blessing to me, but we're going to see something here this morning that I pray will be a blessing to you and will help you understand your Savior to a greater degree as we open up the bread of life that God has given to us to partake of to grow in his grace. So the first thought is understanding our advocate, and that, of course, is Jesus Christ. And the second thought, there's only two thoughts this morning, understanding our fellowship in the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's look at the first two verses 1 and 2, and let's look at our advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "My little children." Isn't that good? This is the Apostle John speaking to believers, and throughout all these centuries, by the Holy Spirit, speaking to believers with this term of endearment. God looks at us as little children. Amen? God's been in existence forever and ever, and we don't understand that. But listen, he has so many things to show us that will benefit our lives, doesn't he? He created us. He paid the price to give us eternal life, and we enjoy that. And God says, "I've got a whole lot more." That's just the tip of the iceberg, as they say, and there's a whole lot more to be enjoyed even in this life. So he says, "My little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not." That's important, that you sin not. Can you believe the Lord Jesus Christ in that? These things are written to us that we don't walk habitually in sin. Now, he's not talking about sinless perfection, and we'll see that here in just a moment. Notice what he says here. And that's a conjunction. We're adding these two thoughts together. If any man sin, so he's saying that is the potential, right? We do have that potential to sin. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Isn't that good that we have an advocate, one working on our behalf? We have a high priest that goes before God Almighty and says, they have been justified. They are covered by the blood. They are innocent because of the grace of God that they have received. And so we have this advocate, and really because we have not only an advocate, but did you know we have an adversary also, the devil, that is looking to destroy us, and an adversary that would have us to look to ourselves. Oh, listen, he would love no more than for you and I to say, "I'm like God. I can decide what's right and wrong in my life." Isn't that what he told Eve? You can be as God. God's holding out on you. Do it your way. Isn't that what he was saying to her? And so she messed up, and we don't want to follow the same path. And so notice he says, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Notice this, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So let's just back up at that word propitiation. That's the Greek word helosmos, and that has to do with being the appeasing sacrifice once and for all. Amen? The Lord Jesus Christ is our advocate, but he is also the propitiation for our sins. So it's good that he's got a dual function, doesn't he? He's got more than just a dual function, but he is our advocate that we can go to, and he's also the propitiation, the appeasing sacrifice for all of our sins. So, as we consider this, this is the first part, that anytime, this is important, anytime we sin, what happens to our relationship with the Lord? Is it strengthened or weakened? Does it cause us to grow more distant or closer? It causes us to become more distant. So this is important. And so the longer we go without confessing that sin, there's a greater distance that takes place. And we lose our understanding of the love of God. We begin to see things from our own heart that's darkened now and from our own eyes, and we can be a saved child of God and look to the wrong things. And we learned this morning that we could actually, not that we lose our salvation, but we are fallen from grace. In other words, we are no longer looking to the grace of God, and the grace of God is not functioning as God would have it to function in our lives. And so God wants the grace of God fully functioning in the life of every believer. Not just partially functioning, not just a little bit. In other words, you're saved by the blood and you've got eternal life. Listen, be concerned about people that's all they care about. Under grace, that's it. That means they're not looking for anything else. And by the way, it sounds like an escape clause, right? It sounds like, hey, listen, I don't want anything really to do with God other than the fact that I got heaven as my home. My sins have been forgiven, and I'm going to heaven, and I don't care anything else about the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't that sound like there's a problem there? Listen, it sounds like me that, like, possibly, I don't know this, but possibly, but Lord, look what we did. And Jesus will say unto them, he says, I will say unto them, in that day, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So that's something to be concerned about. Salvation begins with a personal relationship, a personal understanding of our sins that have separated us, and we're guilty. And God makes that ever present before us and makes us aware that that is separating us. And by the way, I don't know exactly how it works, but it's fast. Amen? And all of a sudden we get the understanding that Christ died for us, as we were witness to. We repent of that. We turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust his sacrifice to pay for all of our sins. That changes us, which entails also the idea of wanting to seek him to a greater degree. Now we want to walk with the lover of our souls. So let's consider some things here, and let's look at what the Lord is saying here. Look at verse 3. Now we're going to look at, remember, we understand him as our advocate. Now we have to understand our fellowship in the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice what it says here in verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Whoa, what does that mean? What does that mean, if we keep his commandments? He saith, and notice this, he saith, I know him. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments is a what? Wow. Wow. That's some dangerous ground, isn't it? And the truth is not in him. Now, do you see that the way I'm seeing it? We're going to take a close look at this because we have to understand it. Wait a minute. I thought we had an advocate. We do. Amen. But then also he says here, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Now, what we have to understand is this word keep here in verse 3 is the word tereo, right? That's the Greek word. And that Greek word specifically means to attend to carefully, to take care of, and to guard. So at first thought, we would look at that and say, well, my goodness, am I saved? Because I've broken his commandments. I don't always keep his commandments. So am I saved? No, that's not what that's talking about. It's talking about you guarding the word of God to say, listen, if lying is wrong, if I lie, and is that sin before the Lord? Because God's word says that's wrong. Thou shalt not lie, right? You shouldn't lie. And if I lie, then if I say, oh, that's okay, I'm not guarding the word of God. But if I say, oh, I told a lie, that is wrong. That is sin before the Lord. I'm keeping the word of God. And I need to confess that truth, see? And so understand what the Bible is saying here. This word tereo is to attend to carefully, to take care of, and to guard. It's kind of like a relationship. It's kind of like a marital relationship. You fall in love with somebody. And you think about them, don't you? And you want to do stuff with them, don't you? And you find things in common, and you enjoy. In fact, you sometimes you go out of your way to look at what their interests are, and you try to enjoy what they enjoy, and they try to enjoy what you enjoy. And before long, you get married. Isn't that good? And then our whole lives together to enjoy this bliss that God has blessed us with. But if we're not careful, here's what happens. See, that marital relationship requires, first of all, the keeping of our vows. You're the only one for me, and I'm the only one for you. You know, it used to kill me when I was working in the secular realm, and I would hear people, fellows or women, badmouth their spouses. I'm like, wow, that's a. I'd hate to be in that home. I feel sorry for the other person, what they're going home to. You see that? And you know what happens? Somewhere, the person they loved, something happened. You know what really is amazing to me? People that are married for 30, 40, 50 years and get a divorce. You see, somewhere along the lines, they stopped loving that person. Somewhere along the lines, they stopped pursuing, they stopped engaging, and they stopped growing in that relationship. And you know what happened? They became roommates. God's not looking for a roommate. He's looking for a relationship, a vibrant relationship that is growing. And we have to give of ourselves and yield. Amen? And especially when it comes to the Lord, listen, can somebody be saved and reject the Lord Jesus Christ? No, listen to me. Can somebody be saved and reject the Lord Jesus Christ? In other words, the blood of Christ, the atonement, the sacrifice of Christ. No, but wait a minute. What if they can sing a beautiful special for us? And they'll go soul winning with us, and they'll even learn the Romans road, and they'll hand out tracts and tell people about Jesus. Does that person have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? See, God's not looking for a dress up on the outside. He's looking for the inside change. See, because we can do things exteriorly, and by the way, we could fool that person if we wanted to thinking, oh man, you're doing a great work for God. My goodness, listen to you sing. In fact, we can have them learn how to preach, and we can have them learn how to do everything, and yet they're missing the Lord Jesus Christ. See, that doesn't fly in the face of God. That does not, it's not acceptable before Him. He wants us to understand about abiding in Him and growing in His grace, and not just salvation for the sake of salvation and no more. See, that's a scary thought, because I promise you, listen, there are going to be people that will stand up before God Almighty, and He will say to them, I never knew you. That's a scary place. And those people are going to be, but, Lord. And they're going to go ahead and run down and list out everything they did. And He said, He will say, depart from me. He's saying this is going to happen. In that day, this is going to happen. That's a scary place to be. And the scary part is, as we learn in the book of Galatians here this morning in Sunday school class, that these Judaizers convinced a whole church, a whole group of believers to follow them. And to receive that lie, and they probably thought they were getting closer to the Lord, and really they were getting further away. To the place to where the grace of God was not effectual in their lives. And that's not what the Lord wants for us. So here's the idea. God wants us to uphold the Word of God, and if we break the Word of God, then we say, who's wrong? Who? Afraid? Don't be afraid. We're wrong. If we break this is the Word of God, and I'm not right with God when I break the Word of God. And listen, this is important. Why is God penning this down? Because we have the nature to say, I'm all right with God. When I'm breaking His Word, I am breaking His Word, and I'm maybe even encouraging others to break the Word of God. Hey, listen, when I got saved, I had somebody who professed to be a Christian, even told me about Christ. They told me about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I got saved, and I wanted to be in God's house every time. And he wanted me to do something with him Wednesday night, and I said, I'm sorry, I'm going to the house of God. I'm gonna go hear the Word of God. And he said, well, why don't you, you're too fanatical. Why don't you go fill up the bathtub with water and practice walking on water? That's what he told me. You know what I realized right there? He's not a friend of God. Anybody who would try to discourage you from drawing nearer to the Lord and growing more in the grace of God, and you know what? He did go south. He started allowing things into his life that I didn't want in mine because God didn't want them. And so here's what happens. Listen, people, friends like that, well, they want you to compromise the Word of God because they are compromising the Word of God and they don't want your light shining into their lives. They want you to agree that what the Word of God is saying is wrong so they can continue doing wrong because the Bible says those without Christ love darkness more than they do light. Is that not the truth? Are we children of light? Then that means we keep the Word of God, and when we're wrong, we admit and we say, I am wrong, and the Word of God is right how often? Will it ever be wrong? Who will be wrong if we break the Word of God? We'll be wrong. Well, listen, we've got to be confident in the Word of God, and that's what it's talking about here. So notice, listen in verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. In other words, they are unbreakable. We guard them to be right all the time. Not when it's just convenient for me. All the time, it's true. And listen, that puts our heart in a right place because then we don't excuse ourselves when we are walking contrary. We'll go to back to verse 1 and 2 to our advocate. The propitiation of our sins, the one who paid the price so that we can be restored in a right relationship with him instead of walking down the road for years and years and maybe our whole lives justifying ourselves and realizing we're not keeping the Word of God. We have broken it and we have tailored it. You know what tailors do? You know what a good tailor does? He puts clothes on us and makes them bend to our crooked bodies. That's what he does. If he's a good tailor, he'll make you look good. But that's just a cover, amen? Because underneath, we're a mess. And God is concerned about the inward parts and not just the exteriors. Hey, God wants to give us revival. But we've got to be true and honest and sincere with our God. And not play the hypocrite. You know what a hypocrite is? They put on a mask. They put on a mask. They play one part when they're in front of certain people, and they put on another mask in front of other people. Is that a friend? Is that the kind of friend you want? Is that the kind of friend that glorifies the Lord? Is that a friend of God? So listen very carefully. Listen, verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth or guardeth not his commandments is a what? I didn't say it, God did. If you are behind the scenes breaking the Word of God, God will call us a liar if we break the commandments of God and excuse ourselves. And what does he say? Listen, verse 4. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a what? And the truth is not in him. That's powerful. He didn't say you might not be saved, but he says you're walking in a lie. Notice this also, verse 5. But whoso keepeth his word, that's the same word, by the way, and that is to take care and guard the word of God, that we don't change it or excuse it. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is what? The love of God. In other words, we're willing to say, I'm wrong. God says, only the love of God will do that. God reveals that to the believer who is yielded to him. And notice this, verse 5 again, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God, what? Perfected, matured. Hereby we know that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. Did God ever excuse any one of the commandments, and that he is the Lord Jesus Christ? Did God ever excuse, did God ever say, did he not fulfill the law? Praise God. He's the perfect Lamb of God. And he says we ought to uphold the Word of God and call what he calls wrong, wrong, and never once say, well, that's a little gray area there. No. If he says it's wrong, bless God, it's wrong. And we ought to fight to guard with our lives the Word of God. People have laid down their lives for the Word of God. Notice verse 7. Brethren, so he's speaking to believers, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. What was that? And again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. This new thing, remember what Jesus said to the disciples? A new commandment I give unto you. What was that new commandment? That ye love one. Isn't that amazing? The new commandment is that ye love who? Isn't that amazing? And what is love? What is love? When somebody loves somebody, do they care about them? Do they want the best for them? Are they happy for them? Can they rejoice for them when things go their way? What's the opposite of that? Hate. You know what people that hate do? They don't want the best for you. In fact, when your name, somebody that hates you, or the thought of you comes up in their minds, they can't help but spew ugly things. I remember, I'm not going to encourage you to listen. It was a young fella. He just popped up on YouTube, and his song was entitled, I Pray For You. I don't know if you ever heard it. I pray that you walk underneath a balcony and a pot falls on your head. I pray that your tires and brakes go out. I pray for you. Now, it was kind of a comical thing. I'm sure it was lighthearted. I don't think he meant it. I think he was saying it tongue in cheek. But that's not the kind of love God's talking about. It's not the kind of love that God's talking about. God says, I want you to be genuine, because listen, when we love one another, do you know who also we're loving? We're loving God. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit, the grace that God has given to us, he's given to everybody else. To every child of God. And so when we don't love one another, guess who else we're not loving? Not loving the Lord. And so he says, verse 8, again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. So as we consider this, we find here this substantiating or proving the truth of our walk in the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we really abiding? Are we walking as God is walking? Are we calling what he says is sin, sin, and walking according to his commandments and not inventing our own? That's important. And so notice what he says here. Verse 9, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. Even until now. If you hate your brother, if you wish ill will upon them, what kind of a mother would it be that didn't love their children? You'd call that a broken home. You'd call that, listen, a mother wants the best for their kids. And God says we ought to have a greater love for one another because we're in the family of God. And if the Spirit is abiding on us, we want to do that. And the Bible says that the love of God will cover a multitude of sins in other people. We'll overlook a bunch of other things. And we'll forgive them because God has forgiven us much. We'll forgive them. And we'll be genuine about it. We won't wear the hypocrite mask to say, oh, yes, that's the right thing, and then do the contrary when nobody else is looking. So he says, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. So are we in darkness, or are we in the light? These are battles from within. This is the difference between night and day. Seeing the truth or not seeing the truth. This is what God is saying here. So again, verse 9, he says, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is where? In darkness. That's the difference between night and day. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. And it's not because I have to love my brother. It's because I get to because of the love of God in me. And I can see them as God sees them and have a true, genuine compassion. Aren't you glad? I would dare say, correct me if I'm wrong, every one of us have disappointed our parents probably more than once. I would dare to say this. We have upset our parents more than once. Aren't you glad they didn't stop loving us? Aren't you glad they didn't go around talking bad-mouthing about you, telling other people bad things about you? That would not only be hurtful, it would be quite embarrassing. See, that's not the love of God. That's not a healthy relationship to go out. And listen, we all know, none of us are perfect. And God has forgiven us. And God wants us to forgive one another. Because if we're not doing that, we're in darkness. That's what the Bible says. Notice this. Verse 10, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light. Listen, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. You want to know how not to stumble? Love your brother. You won't stumble. Did you see that carefully? He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. God will see to it. You want to know how not to stumble? Love your brother. Easy enough, isn't it? But he that hateth his brother, this is the difference between night and day, is in darkness. Verse 11. And walketh in darkness. Listen to this. And knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. They can't even see where they're going. They think they can, but the Bible says they're blind and they can't see. I don't want to be blind, spiritually speaking. How about you? I don't want to walk that way. I want to honor the Lord. See, we need to keep the commandments of, we need to guard them and say what God has commanded to be so, it is so. And if I am walking contrary, I'm the one that's wrong. Or if we're not careful, we'll become judges and not servants. We'll start judging other people. I got news for you. We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give a full account for reward or loss of reward as a saved child of God. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to lose a single reward that God has ordained for me to receive. So, notice what he says here in verse 12. And this is God's loving reasoning with us. And he says, I write unto you, little children, that's a term of endearment, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you. They're keeping the word of God. And ye have overcome the wicked one. Notice, again, what he says here. These are the battles from within. And then lastly, he talks about battles from without. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. In other words, if that's our first passion, not that we're not in the world, and not that we don't do business in the world, but that's not our love. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth for how long? Forever. God wants us to abide where? In him. And God has allowed us to understand this fellowship that God wants us to have in the Lord Jesus Christ and has explained what abiding in Jesus Christ is really all about. There's only one person that will fool us. You know who that is? Ourselves. Into thinking that we can make right what God has said is wrong. Why did God put this in His Word? Because it is important to Him that we understand the truth and walk in it, or we will miss the plan of God for our lives and stand before the Lord confounded and undone. And that is not His will, but it might be ours. And if it's our will, we need to straighten that out and say, my will is wrong, and confess it before the Lord, or we'll stay blind, remain blind, and never change it. And we won't be able to expect revival the way God would have it in our lives. So this morning, God says, I want you to abide in me, and I in you. I want to bear much fruit in your life. Would you like that? Then we have to do it God's way. Amen? Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne thanking you for your mercy, your grace, your patience, and your long-suffering to us, Lord, and your willingness, Lord, to always hold us in your hands. Lord, may we see your love and your light and be yielded completely, that you might use us as vessels for your honor and glory, and that we might truly keep and guard your commandments as the truth and not bend them to fit our ideas. Bless and build Northwood, Lord, for your honor and glory. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.